Well, we entreat the Lord to meet with us here this morning. The Lord's been inspiring our hearts on the heritage that we have and the inheritance that He has left us, that He's went away, but He left some things with us. One was His peace. He left the fruits of His Spirit with us. He left all the promises of God with us. And He wants us to recognize that and know that the Lord has left some things for us and we're not without. And I know we've heard that the past number of weeks, but I feel like the Lord's given me something else to go with it. I want us to think this morning a little bit. I'm going to write on the board here. I want us to think this morning a little bit about something the Lord has given to us, and He wants us to know it, and He wants us to take full advantage of it. And, you know, this morning I wrote on the board, God with us. You know, in 2 Chronicles 6 and 11 and 12, I want to read a little bit back here of some things when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And it says here in verse 11 and 12, Solomon said, "And in it, in the temple, have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that He made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands." And you know, Solomon had worked for years building this temple. And he had done it, I believe, just like the Lord wanted it done. And he had put in that temple what God said to do. And David wanted to build the temple, but he wasn't able to. But you know, once that temple was built, Solomon dedicated that temple to the Lord. And he prayed a prayer there, and I want to read a part of this prayer, a number of verses here. And look at what Solomon said when he prayed. And I want us to notice the times that he said, "Then hear, Lord." Now, I know this is in the Old Covenant and the Old Testament times, and they didn't have all the opportunities we have, but I want to notice what Solomon said when he dedicated this temple and the prayer that he prayed and what happened then. In 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 20, Solomon was praying here, and he said, "If a man sin against his neighbor and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people, Israel, be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. You know, this morning, Solomon was coming to the Lord, and he wanted this place to be God's house. And he said here, he said, Lord, if your people turn from you and they turn again to this place and pray, hear from heaven and forgive them and help them. And Lord, if there's a famine, if there's no water because they've sinned and they turn again to this place, Lord, would you dwell here? Would you be here? Would you hear when they call upon you? You know, this morning, we don't have a temple like that, because we're told in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Now, he did here. They put the Ark of the Covenant in that temple. And in that Ark was the covenants that God had made with his people, and that he wanted them to hold. And God's covenant was that he would be their God, and that he would fight their battles, and that he would be with them in all that they do. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us to remember something. God was with these people when they were with God. And I want to tell you something this morning. If we humble our hearts, where is the temple today? Where might we pray? Didn't he say that your temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you? You know, have you ever dedicated your body to the Lord? Have you ever given yourself to him for God to dwell there and for him to be in the seat of your body and at the helm of your life? You know what Solomon was saying here? He gave up his rights as king to be just whatever kings are. And he gave this place to God. And he wanted God's covenant. He wanted his laws. He wanted his ways in his life. You know, this morning, God wants to be that to us too. And if we will dedicate this body to him, you know what he will do? He'll dwell in us as well. And you know, Solomon prayed there, and he knew what God was capable of doing. They had the Ark of the Covenant with them, wherein God dwelt for many years, where the Lord put his presence there. And we know there's no place in this earth that could hold God, but he put his presence there. And they could come to him, and did many times. And at different times, I remember one time the Ark, the priest brought the Ark to the battle, and the people shouted. You know why? There went up a shout among the people. Well, they had done evil, and God didn't fight for them. But they knew God dwelt there, and they knew his presence was there. You know, this morning, God wants to fill our temple, and he wants us to know, I dwell there. I am with you. And if you come into any troubles, I'll help you there. It doesn't matter what kind of troubles it is. It doesn't matter. Solomon listed all kinds of things here. Dearth and famines and pestilence and caterpillars and locusts eating up all their food and crops where they didn't have anything to eat. Solomon knew that if God was to move on the scene, it would be okay. And so he prayed when he dedicated this place, Lord, this is your place. This is your house. And you know, it says in verse 40 on down here, Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Do you know that's the covenant of God with his people? When we pray to him, you know he'll hear us if we're walking uprightly before him and living before God in that place of righteousness before him. You know, we read on in chapter 7, it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, when they took that ark of the covenant between God and men and they put that in the holy place, the most holy place, you know where that was under? It was under the mercy seat. And there God dwelt. We need his mercy sometimes, folks. You know, this morning, I don't know where all of us are, but I want to tell you something. This is the place God dwells, if we'll let him. He dwells in our heart. He dwells in this body. It's his temple if we'll dedicate it to him. If we'll let him have it, he will live there. And he'll take control. And I want to tell you, when you get in any troubles, God will be there. You know, another place it talks about, this is in 1 Kings 8. I'm just going to read it here. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. That's another writing about this same time. But you know, this morning, I just want to bring a very simple and maybe a short message. The Lord will be with us, folks. I don't know what kind of troubles your life holds, but I want to tell you something. If we'll call to God and we'll dedicate this body to him as his temple, he'll fight our battles and he'll take us through this morning. You know, we have a promise. I want to read it in Isaiah 7 and 14. Listen to this promise that God has given to all of us here. If we'll humble our hearts before him, he said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. That was the promise that God was going to bring. No, it wasn't under this old covenant. No, we don't have a big temple made with hands that we go and we bow down to great idols or whatever, or even as they had there. There is no temple like that. But I will tell you something. The Lord has given us a sign. And he said a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. And you know, this morning in Isaiah 9 and 6, it tells a little more about this son. And it says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You think the kingdom isn't increasing all the time? The kingdom includes heaven, those in heaven, and those on earth. And you know, it's huge. It's large. It's got millions and millions of people in it. And you know, and all the host of heaven, I believe, partake of that same kingdom. You know, this morning, the Lord has given us this verse, and I just want to capitalize on it a little bit. I thought about the song, and I couldn't locate it, but it says, Jesus is a refuge. I think that same song goes on to say, I'll fight your battles. I'll take you through. Does anybody know that song well enough to sing a verse of it? Did you know? Jesus is all of that. Because He's God with us. That was the prophecy of Him. He said, I'll fight your battles. I'll take you through. He's a hiding place. He's a refuge. You know what that means? I can hide in Him until the wrath of the storm is overpassed. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to hide in Him. He wants us to have that refuge, folks, because we face so many varying trials. So many things come upon people. But I want to tell you a promise that we have. God is with us. We don't have to let it get in here where it counts. It don't have to mar our happiness. It don't have to mar our peace. Those are the things the world cannot take from us. When Jesus said, My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He was talking about something deeper than what the world can give. The world can't take us through. The Bible says money is a defense. You know, there's a lot of things that are a defense in life. Many things. But there's only one thing. Sometimes it's who you know in the world, isn't it? It's not what you know. It's who you know. If you know the right people, you can get what you want done in this world. But all that fails. Everything in this world's going to fail. But I will tell you something. Jesus, He's a refuge. Found it to be so. I've found that when all the answers run out, and there isn't any, I don't know what else to do, I want to tell you something. Jesus will still be there. And He'll still fight your battles. And He'll still take you through. And He'll still be with us. And we won't be any less for it. In fact, our gold will only be more pure. Our life will only be more valuable in the things of the Lord with the battles that we face this morning. You know, it calls Him It tells us that there's going to be a child born and a son given. And the government's going to be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. We read that. You ever needed a counselor? You ever couldn't get everything you needed from people? You know, the Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But you know what? Sometimes even that fails us. Sometimes we need more than that. We need something from God. We need something from the Lord. Sometimes that can't satisfy the need of our soul. But you know what his very name is? Counselor. I need you, Lord. I need you to counsel me. I need you to help me to understand. I need you to help me to be able to face what I'm facing. Because not everything makes sense in this life. But I want to tell you what does make sense. That's when the everlasting Father, through His Son Jesus, speaks to our hearts. You know, when the Holy Spirit begins to minister to us, that makes sense. What is life made of? Is it made of intelligent decisions only? Or do we have a part of us that has to do with feelings and with things that can't be put on paper? Needs that we have, emotional needs. That's part of life, isn't it? You know what? God came to give us those needs too. He didn't come just to satisfy our mind, try to figure it all out and we're going to get it down. I want to tell you something. There's times that it won't go that way. It'll never be able to be all figured out. But God, He'll satisfy the need of our heart. And we keep on walking with Him. He's our counselor. And He tells us. I remember a time in my life when it seemed like I was down for the count, felt like. But I'll tell you what didn't make sense. At the bottom, the Lord came along and just lifted me up. And nothing changed except me. That's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to change us. He wants to change us from the inside. There's a part of us that isn't made with pink, with ink and paper. And you can't put it all down in logical order. There's a part of us, and it's a big part of us, emotional needs, needs of our heart. People need their heart cleaned up, don't they? You know what? Every one of us had a dark heart at one time. It takes the Lord to do those things. But this son that was to be born has been born. And this son has the needs of our life in his hand and can easily meet all of those things. Saints, this morning, I think we ought to take courage and look up and realize the inheritance that we have. God has left us some things. He's our counselor. Did He just go away? Did He leave us behind? Oh no, He didn't leave us behind. He said, if I don't go away, then I won't, then the Spirit won't come. You know, this feeling that happened in the temple, the Lord wants that to happen in our lives. And I want to tell you, it's a life-changing experience. It changes who we are. It changes some things about us. And God begins to walk with us in a much richer and deeper way than ever before. You know, it says He's the everlasting Father. You ever just needed a father? My father died when I was pretty young. I think I was 22. And I've longed to talk to Him a lot of times. Haven't been able to. But I haven't gone without, and I haven't lacked, because I've talked to God all through those years. Ever since then, I've had a Father in my life. You know what Jesus wants to be to you and me? He wants to be your Father. If you have a Father that's alive, you're blessed. But I want to tell you something. There's one that's greater, richer, and deeper than even that. The everlasting Father. You know what? God wants to be that in your life. He wants to take that place in your life and He wants it to be rich and whole. He wants your life to be rich and whole. He wants it to be complete. You know, you ask a father advice, don't you? God wants to be that. He's called the Everlasting Father. That was one of the prophecies of His name, of who He was. The Everlasting Father. You know, it says here He would be called the Prince of Peace. It's one thing to have a little peace, but the Prince of Peace, He's the one that has the control of the peace. He's the one at the helm of it. You know, do we need some peace today? Well, but you just don't understand. I probably don't. But I want to tell you one thing I do understand. The Prince of Peace, we let Him have His way in this life. God with us. Let Him walk with us. I want to tell you something. We got to get our eyes up on Him. We got to get our eyes up to the Prince of Peace. Lord, I need some peace. I need some of Your presence. I need some of what You came to bring. Is it our heritage, folks, today? Is this our heritage? Did the Lord leave this for us or not? If He did, let's take full advantage of it. The Prince of Peace, He'll walk with me. He'll dwell in this temple. When I need peace, He'll give me peace. When I don't understand, and when I'm without, and then the troubles overwhelm and roll over my head, you mean the Prince lives there of peace? Yes, the Prince lives there. The Prince of Peace. He wants to fill our hearts with His peace. This is our heritage, folks. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Just because the troubles roll over people don't mean they have to destroy people. I want to tell you, God wants us to be able to rise up with Him and enjoy the good things of God in this life, in this time. He wants us to do that. And I believe if we'll allow Him to, He'll do that for us this morning. You know, He says here, His name shall be called Wonderful. You ever used that word before? Wonderful. What's that word mean? It means real good, doesn't it? It means it's wonderful. It's beyond just saying it's good or it's all right. It's wonderful. This is what His name is. And He wants to live in our heart today. And when we dedicate our temple to the Lord, He comes in to live there. And I want to tell you, like I said a while ago, it's a life-changing thing. The Lord wants to be in our life. We have this privilege, wonderful, the workings of the Lord, His dealings with us. I remember, and I've said this before here, I remember a time when I just told the Lord this, and I wasn't saying this in rebellion. I was saying it very cautiously and carefully, but I said, Lord, it just seems to me like if You would be better to me, I would love You more. Have you ever thought those thoughts? I imagine there's a few here that have entertained those thoughts. You know, I wasn't accusing God. I was just telling the Lord, I feel this way. Help me out. I need help. Well, you know what? I found that He did help me out. And what I found was that I look back to those places, and that is now that shifting sand that I felt like, how can I ever make it through? That's the bedrock I stand on today because God helped me there. And He changed that slippery place into a rock. And He changed those things that seemed to harm me into everlasting joy. You know, this morning the Lord wants to do that for us, saints. I just want to leave us with those few little thoughts. I'll say a little more here. God wants to be to us, God with us. He wants to be Emmanuel in our life. You know, it says the everlasting, the mighty God. I want to make mention of that too. The mighty God. Who is the mighty God? You remember the God that when the Israelites came up to the Red Sea, and they saw behind them, and they weren't prepared for this by any means. They saw behind them Pharaoh's army with his chariots coming, and they knew Pharaoh was angry. They knew they were in big trouble. Lord, what do we do? You know what God did? He put up a wall between them, didn't he? And on one side, it was a wall of light. And on the other side, what was it? A wall of darkness. They couldn't see to do what they wanted to do. They couldn't go through that place. And you know what God did? He blew all night long, and that sea opened with his wind. And you know, they marched right through there, the whole army. And their enemies marching right behind them then fell, and they never rose again. And those chariot wheels, I'm sure, are still down there if they haven't completely eroded. You know, there's many things that when we look back at who the mighty God is, the mighty God, you ever thought about the mighty God? The mighty God that spoke and the world came into existence. He spoke, and by his word the heavens were made. By his word all of these things happened. That's the mighty God. Emmanuel. God is with us, folks. I want to tell you, let him live in your heart. Give this body to him and let him live in your temple. Let him have that place as God. You know, this morning, I was just thinking about this little phrase. We have this privilege. Are you taking advantage of the privilege you have this morning? Are we letting the devil just beat us up? What I've found is we go back over and over again. Now, Lord, I got to get alone here. I got to have you. I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know how. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I don't know how to lift up my feelings. I don't know how I'm going to speak when it comes time. I want to tell you something. That God will renew us every day. He'll take that time and he'll just make it a stepping stone. And we'll put our foot on that, and God will come down and he'll visit with his unction. And he'll visit with his balm. He'll visit with his healing virtues, with his graces and his strengths. Saints, I'm not talking about something that we know nothing of here this morning. But I will tell you, I just want to encourage all of us. If we're living behind what God wants us to have, let's put our foot out there on that piece of ground like the Lord, like Moses told Joshua, or the Lord, however that was. And he said, every place that you put your foot on, it's yours. You're going to stretch out and reach out and take a little more of our heritage this morning? This is the heritage of the people of God. They're the people that's not beat down by the devil. Oh, they might be afflicted. You ever went and visited an afflicted person that had God working in their heart, in their life? You come away thinking, I went to encourage them. Wow. And they began to tell me all about how God's been working with them. All about how God's been dealing in their life. You know what? That's the God that we serve this morning. Let's stretch out the tent stakes. Let's stretch out. Lord, you've given us this great heritage to the people of God. Emmanuel, God with us, God right in us. I don't have to go over there. I might not be able to get there. There might be somebody standing between me and there. But you're here. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Savior, the one that saves us and gives us strength when we need it, the Lion of Judah, and he lives right here. You know what? Let's let the weak say, I'm strong. Let's open our mouth and say it. I am strong. Well, I don't feel strong. It doesn't matter. Just say it. I want to tell you something. God will take that little bit that we give him, that little bit of words, and we put our foot on that. And it'll be ours if we'll allow him to. The mighty God. I want to read this song before we quit. touching Jesus. A woman tried many physicians, yet grew worse. So to Jesus she came, and when the crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words through her pain. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. I was bound when I knelt at that old altar, but they said Jesus could meet every need. And when this prisoner finally touched Jesus, he set me free. Praise the Lord, free indeed. Jesus is all that matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Amen.